Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record Program number 293, Retrospective on the Balkans. In Side 1, we took a look at renewed Croatian nationalism in Bosnia-Herzegovina. We also took a look at the German role in helping to break up Yugoslavia and some of the antecedents of what I call the Underground Reich in the background of Yugoslavia. In the interest of time, I'm not going to detail that. By the way, this is being recorded on April 22nd of the year 2001. And as I speak, there has been renewed ethnic Muslim or Muslim ethnic unrest in the Balkans. Macedonia is now moving to secede, although they're primarily Slavic. However, there has been a lot of trouble recently in Macedonia, formerly part of Yugoslavia, where the ethnic Albanian minority was recently suppressed, or a rebellious group was suppressed by force of arms. Some of the heritage of that group and some of the possible connections were discussed in an article in the Financial Times of London of Thursday, March 22nd of the year 2001. This is an article by Judy Dempsey in Brussels. It's headlined, "The Guerrillas, Motley Band of Rebels and Smugglers," talking about some of the lines of support and power running to the ethnic Albanian rebels in Macedonia. Ethnic Albanians fighting in Macedonia are a motley group representing diverging interests. Thought to number no more than 1,000, they can cause havoc and have the potential to destabilize the republic. Skipping down, "The funding, control, and arming of the rebels remains unclear. In Switzerland, home to more than 100,000 Kosovo Albanians, and with Germany a center of the ethnic Albanian diaspora, officials said they were monitoring fundraising by Albanian groups." Skipping down again, "There is little doubt that the GSZ has been used by smugglers. Intelligence sources say they have no doubt weapons and money are being channeled to the KLA from ethnic Albanian groups in Germany, Belgium, and Switzerland." And, of course, the KLA is the Kosovo Liberation Army. In another section of that article, "From Pristina, the Kosovo capital, it is not clear what kind of relationship the new armed Macedonian Albanian might have with other radical armed Albanian organizations operating in Kosovo and Preševo Valley in southern Serbia." What we're going to take a look at now is some of the background in the ethnic Muslim unrest, including ethnic Albanians in Kosovo. And we're going to excerpt a section of For the Record Program number 161, and we're going to be discussing once again part of the Third Reich heritage of the Balkans. During the occupation of the Balkans in Yugoslavia by the Third Reich, there was an ethnic Muslim Waffen-SS division, actually more than one, but the 13th Waffen-SS division was the Hanjar division, and it was recruited by Haji Amin al-Hussein himself, a major in the SS and a key Axis spy. And we're going to take a look at the Hanjar Division and its heritage in the current Balkans War. One of the members of and a recruiter for the Hanjar Division, again, a Bosnian Muslim Waffen-SS division, was none other than Alija Izetbegović, the current president of Bosnia. The source for that information is none other than Dr. Milan Bulahic. That's capital M-I-L-A-N, last name B-U-L-A-J-I-C. He is the acknowledged Serbian expert on the war crimes committed by the Axis powers, the Italians, the Germans, the Ustashi, and the Bulgarians and the various other Axis occupiers of the Balkans during World War II. Milan Bulahic could be thought of sort of as the Serbian equivalent of Simon Wiesenthal. The following information comes from a listener who researched this for us, and this is an excerpting of a letter from Dr. Milan Bulahic to Mr. David Binder, last name B-I-N-D-E-R, of the New York Times. This letter was written on November 7th, 1995, and it documents Alija Izetbegović's membership in and recruiting efforts on behalf of the Hanjar Division. This letter was, again, written 11/7/95. And this excerpt is from For the Record segment number 2, The Phony Money Scandal. This was reprised in For the Record segment 147. The original program was recorded in January of 1996. And I'm going to read this letter as it was written. The English is imperfect, but again, this is exactly how it was written. I'm not going to read the entire letter. "It was real pleasure to hearing your voice again. This is what I have gathered for you about Alija Izetbegović and the, quote, young Muslims, unquote. The present leader of the Bosnian Muslims, Alija Izetbegović, joined the organization Young Muslims in Sarajevo on March 5th, 1943. As a member of this organization, he took active part in establishment of the notorious SS Hanjar Division and collaborated with Hitler's intelligence services, Abwehr and Gestapo. By the way, he was twice convicted of crimes. He was convicted of war crimes at the end of World War II, but got a small sentence because of his youth. He was only about 18. And then later was convicted of crimes against the Yugoslavian Federation and served a longer term. I'm going to quote here from the actual text at the trial. Public prosecutor Edina Rasidovic, that's Edina Rasidovic, informed the court in Sarajevo as follows, quote, the defendant Izbegovic was one of the main leaders of the youth section El Hidaja, A-E-L, capital H-I-D-A-J-A, belonging to the organization Young Muslims. From the year 1943, he worked on recruiting young Muslims for joining the notorious Hanjar Division, which was to bring later on, together with Hitler's hordes, great evil to the Yugoslav people, unquote. Ali Izbegovic answered this accusation by saying, quote, you are accusing me of something connected with my youth because at that time I was only 18 years old, unquote. In other words, Izbegovic himself does not deny it. He simply says he was very young. Continuing, public prosecutor answered, quote, accused Izbegovic, in spite of your youth that you are mentioning, I have the evidence from the Ustashi and German archives showing that you have been received for talks with the Jerusalem Mufti El Hussein, Hitler's collaborator and the founder of the notorious Hanjar Division. And he was also convicted. Ali Izbegovic, because of his fascist activism, it's actually activition here, it should have been activism, was convicted, that's translated osuden prevesti, in the year 1946 to 3 years of prison and 2 years of deprivation of civil rights. These documents, verdict and facsimile of the documents, were presented at the trial in 1983 of 11 Muslims accused of writing the Islamic Declaration, which was signed by Ali Izbegovic. And by the way, in 1987, his file was burglarized in what used to be Yugoslavia. That again was an excerpt from FTR segment number 2. That's For the Record segment number 2. And again, it was reprised in For the Record segment number 147. The original broadcast was from January of 1996. Alia is, by the way, I mispronounced Alia Izetbegovic's name. I left out a syllable. It's Izetbegovic, not Izbegovic. Izetbegovic's involvement with the Hanjar Division sadly did not end with World War II. No sooner did he become president of Bosnia than he revived the Hanjar Division, literally a Hanjar Division recreated and named after and explicitly patterned after the 13th Waffen-SS Division of his youth. This information comes from a book called Some Call It Peace, subtitled Waiting for War in the Balkans. This was authored by Josef Bodansky, last name B-O-D-A-N-S-K-Y. It was published in soft cover by the International Strategic Studies Association, and that in turn was published by the International Media Corporation. Now, Josef Bodansky is an extremely conservative individual with very strong connections to the national security establishment. His background is described here as Director of Research at the International Strategic Studies Association, which is a British intelligence outfit. He's also Director of the Congressional Task Force on Terrorism and Unconventional Warfare at the U.S. House of Representatives, a senior editor for the Defense and Foreign Affairs Group of Publications, one of whose members, Bill T.W. Carr's work we accessed some time ago. And he also, in the 1980s, served as a senior consultant for the U.S. Department of Defense and the U.S. Department of State. There are a number of aspects of Bodansky's political analysis here that I disagree with quite strongly. However, much of this book is actually military analysis, basically OB analysis, order of battle analysis. It's a discussion of unit strength, weapons, even some signals intelligence, and I give the military information, the OB analysis here, very high marks, and it is in the context of the military analysis of the new Bosnian government that Bodansky's information about the Hanjar Division is presented. Now, note several things about this division. Again, it was specifically named after and patterned after the 13th Waffen-SS Division, the Hanjar Division. It is composed largely of ethnic Albanians. It is trained by veterans of the Afghan War, Afghan and Pakistani veterans, and it serves as the Praetorian Guard, basically the palace guard, guarding the Bosnian Muslim leadership, including Alija Izetbegovic. It also functions as sort of a special forces unit, traveling around and backing up with and working with other Bosnian Muslim military units. And as we're going to see in a minute, in 1995, it was engaged in force projection into the Kosovo/Albania/Macedonia area. Turning now to Some Call It Peace, Waiting for War on the Balkans, and Josef Badansky's discussion of Ali Izetbegovic's rejuvenation of the Hanjar Division when he became president of Bosnia. Another major Islamist force remained, the Hanjar Division, named after the 13th SS Hanjar Division, which served under the German flag in World War II. The current Hanjar Division is Sarajevo's Praetorian Guards, and is comprised of a 2,500 to 3,000 elite force deployed in Sarajevo, and a 6,000 to 7,500 strong backup force at a major training base around Fojnica, but it is moved around to augment major fighting fronts. Fojnica, by the way, F-O-G-N-I-C-A, I may be mispronouncing that. Continuing. The majority of the troops of the Hanjar Division come from the region's non-Bosnian Muslim minorities, primarily Albanians, and are led by veteran Pakistani and Afghan experts. In a later discussion of Hanjar, not only does Josef Badansky reprise the information that I just related, he points out and stresses that the division was explicitly patterned after the fascist culture and activities of the 13th Waffen-SS Division, and note here that Badansky quotes some UN officers serving in Fojnica, which is one of the major areas of operation of the Hanjar Division, and in 1993 some of them were quoted here as wondering whether the high percentage of ethnic Albanians in Hanjar augured poorly in terms of a spreading of the war south via Kosovo and into Albania. Subsequent events have borne out those fears, again expressed in 1993. Oh, by the way, this book was published in 1996. I neglected to mention that. More about the Hanjar Division, the new Hanjar Division. In mid-1993, Sarajevo revived the Hanjar Division with all its fascist culture and preoccupation with the division's role as worthy successors to its SS predecessors. The primary role of the Hanjar Division is the Praetorian Guard for President Ali Izetbegovic and other senior leaders in Sarajevo. The Hanjar Division is comprised of a 2,500 to 3,000 elite force deployed in Sarajevo and a 6,000 to 7,500 strong backup force in Fojnica. Significantly, the majority of the troops of the Hanjar Division are not Bosnian Muslims. Instead, they come from the region's other Muslim minorities, primarily Albanians, and are led by veteran Pakistani and Afghan experts. Quote, "Surprisingly few of those in charge of the Hanjars in Fojnica seem to speak good Serbo-Croatian. Many of them are Albanian, whether from Kosovo or from Albania itself," unquote, explained UN officers in Fojnica. And then Badansky goes on to quote some prognostication by those same UN officers. Quote, "The Hanjars are trained and led by veterans from Afghanistan and Pakistan. The strong presence of native Albanians is an ominous sign. It could be that the seeds of war are spreading south via Kosovo and into Albania, thence to the Albanians of Macedonia," unquote. Those observations, made in late 1993, proved correct. By 1995, the Hanjar Division had been transformed into a zealot and combat-proven special forces. In many cases, particularly in the surge into western Bosnia-Herzegovina in the summer and fall of 1995, they operated in close cooperation with the Mujahideen units. The deployment of Albanian veterans and support Mujahideen cadres to Albania began in the fall of 1995. So again, as we look back from July of 1999, the observations by those UN officers in 1993 turned out to be correct. That again from For the Record program number 161 from July 11th of 1999. We're going to listen to another segment of For the Record program 161, noting that Hanjar 2, so to speak, Ali Izetbegovic's recreation of the Hanjar division of his youth, composed largely of ethnic Albanians, many of them from Kosovo, and engaged in force projection into Kosovo and Macedonia in 1993. There was another Balkan Muslim Waffen-SS Division, the 21st Waffen-SS Division, which was known as the Skanderberg Division, and that was composed largely of Albanians from Kosovo in World War II. And the Skanderberg Division is inextricably linked with the heritage of the Kosovo Liberation Army, and there's speculation that the current ethnic Albanian unrest in Macedonia is linked to the KLA. We're going to return once again to For the Record program number 161. Another element, and probably the largest element in the Kosovo Liberation Army, is fascist. There were a number of different military units that were put together by the Axis powers from ethnic Albanians in Kosovo, and many of the members of the Kosovo Liberation Army are the sons and grandsons of those fascist collaborators, and many of those, in turn, are the sons and grandsons of the Skanderberg Volunteer SS Division. Again, an ethnic Albanian Waffen-SS division recruited largely from Kosovo, and as we will note, the Skanderberg slash fascist heritage of the Kosovo Liberation Army has had a significant effect both in terms of its behavior and also its choice of uniforms and salute. Again, the Chris Hedges article, Kosovo's New Masters from Foreign Affairs, Volume 78, Number 3, the May and June issue of 1999. The KLA splits down a bizarre ideological divide with hints of fascism on one side and whiffs of communism on the other. The former faction is led by the sons and grandsons of rightist Albanian fighters, either the heirs of those who fought in the World War II fascist militias and the Skanderberg Volunteer SS Division raised by the Nazis, or the descendants of the rightist Albanian Kachak rebels who rose up against the Serbs 80 years ago. By the way, Kachak is K-A-C-A-K. Continuing. Although never much of a fighting force, the Skanderberg Division took part in the shameful roundup and deportation of the province's few hundred Jews during the Holocaust. The division's remnants fought Tito's partisans at the end of the war, leaving thousands of ethnic Albanians dead. The decision by KLA commanders to dress their police in black fatigues and order their fighters to salute with a clenched fist to the forehead has led many to worry about these fascist antecedents. Following such criticism, the salute has been changed to the traditional open palm salute common in the U.S. Army. So note again that the choice of uniforms, black uniforms for the KLA police, and the choice of salute directly influenced by the fascist heritage of the KLA, including the Skanderberg Division of the Waffen-SS. Note again that in 1995, the Hanjar Division, again a newly created Bosnian, quote Bosnian, unquote, Muslim fascist division, explicitly patterned after the Hanjar Division of World War II. By mid-1995, this unit, again composed largely of ethnic Albanians, was engaged in force projection into the Kosovo, Albania slash Macedonia area. I don't think that it is unrealistic to ask in that context whether perhaps the KLA could be viewed perhaps as Skanderberg Division 2, or perhaps Hanjar Division 3, the first one, of course, being the one from World War II, the second one being the Palace Guard or the Praetorian Guard of Alija Izetbegović, the third one perhaps being the KLA. In numerous broadcasts, including the 13-part series For the Record series Reunited Germany, The New Danger, and also in For the Record segments 48, 49, 147, and 154, we've looked at the prominent German role in the breakup of Yugoslavia. There's a good discussion of that, by the way, in the recent landmark book by Martin Lee called The Beast Reawakens, published in hardcover by Little Brown and copyright 1997. Again, there's good discussion of the German role in the breakup of Yugoslavia. What we're going to do now is to reprise a section from For the Record segments 120 from December of 1998, and we're going to take a look at German intelligence's support for the KLA. Now, bear in mind that this is from December of 1998. It casts an interesting light on the eventual resumption of hostilities in Yugoslavia, or what used to be Yugoslavia, in March of 1999. And apparently Germany is very active through the BND and German military intelligence in the former Yugoslavia and has been channeling weaponry
to the aforementioned Kosovo Liberation Army, which has been at loggerheads with the Serbs in what used to be Yugoslavia. Research credit to a listener on each of the following articles from the vitally important Germany Alert newsletter. This is from Germany Alert from, this would be November 9th of 1998. And this is from Germany Alert. German weapons shipments to Albania revealed. And Germany Alert can be found on the web. Their address is germany.alert.com. And again, you can find that on the World Wide Web. And again, this is from the latest edition of Germany Alert. This is entitled German Weapons Shipments to Albania Revealed. And this reads, German weapons have been sent since 1990 to the Albanian government, according to a report on German television. The Monitor program also reported that the German military, the Bundeswehr, conducts joint exercises with the Albanian military, which is known to fund and supply the Albanian separatist army, the UCK. German weapons have also been found with UCK fighters, including the Ambrust anti-tank grenade launcher developed for the Bundeswehr by weapons manufacturer MBB. According to the news magazine Program, the German BND has had a legal residence in Tirana since 1990. Monitor quoted a source as saying, quote, in 1990 through 91, German military intelligence, or MAD, repeatedly delivered electronic and optical observation and radio equipment to the Albanian intelligence service. The observation equipment came from East German leftover Stasi equipment. German military intelligence officials trained the Albanian intelligence officials in the use of this equipment. Albanian intelligence has transferred the German-supplied equipment and weapons to the Albanian separatist army, the UCK, in Kosovo. The German Defense Ministry denies MAD supplies were sent to Albania, but Monitor quotes several sources from the BND and from the MAD Section 3 who witnessed the training. So German arms now finding their way to the Kosovo Liberation Army, further fracturing what used to be Yugoslavia.
That again from For the Record program number 161, and that was from July 11th of 1999. We're going to take a look now at the individual in charge of the peacekeeping forces in Kosovo. This is excerpted from For the Record program number 184 from January 21st of 1999. And speaking of German influence in the Balkans, research credit on the following goes to Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, who got this from the Daily Mail of Saturday, October 2nd of 1999. This is an article by Christopher Evans entitled Genocide and the Terrible Nazi Secret of the German Who Leads British Troops. It's about the background of General Klaus Reinhard, who has taken over as the NATO military commander in Kosovo. It reads in part, committed wholeheartedly to Hitler's fanatical ideals, Fritz Reinhard rose rapidly through the ranks of the Nazi Party. He governed the purse strings in the Ministry of Finance and was promoted to Obergruppenführer or General in the Brown Shirts. And in 1941, he had a son, who this week took over command of 8,000 British troops. General Klaus Reinhard is directing NATO peacekeeping operations in war-torn Kosovo after being handed the reins by Britain's Lieutenant General Sir Mike Jackson. Klaus Reinhard is keen to distance himself from his country's past and says of his father merely that, quote, he was an undersecretary in the finance ministry between 1933 and 1945. In fact, a Daily Mail investigation has discovered that Fritz Reinhard was a Nazi war criminal who was involved in an operation to exterminate more than 1.75 million Jews. He was jailed for 4 years after the war and classified a, quote, major offender, unquote. He is said by eminent historians of the Nazi period to have lent his name to the infamous Aktion Reinhard, the code name for the operation under which the SS massacred Jews in Poland and stole from them property worth 180 million marks, more than 360 million pounds at today's values. Skipping down. In 1933, after Hitler took power, he was made permanent secretary in the Reich Ministry of Finance and a Gruppenführer or lieutenant general in the SA, being promoted to Obergruppenführer in 1937. This about Fritz Reinhard. With his clipped mustache and greased hair, Obergruppenführer Reinhard bore more than a passing resemblance to his master Hitler. His influential post of Staatssekretär in the Finance Ministry of the Third Reich was a recognition of his considerable talent as an economist and a reward for years of loyal service to the Nazi Party. It was in the Finance Ministry that he performed the most startling service for the Fatherland. Please note that the Finance Ministry worked hand in glove with the Bormann Organization in its initial phases, that going from August of 1944 till the end of 1945. And please note that Fritz Reinhardt was the real power in the German finance ministry once Hjalmar Horace Greeley Schacht was replaced by Count Lutz Ferdinand von Krosigk. Continuing with this Daily Mail story, as the most senior civil servant in the ministry which bankrolled Hitler's war machine, Reinhardt was junior only to the minister himself, Count Ferdinand von Krosigk. The Count, a crony of Hitler, was really only a figurehead, and according to historians, the decisions were made by Reinhardt. Please note that Fritz Reinhardt held this position up until the end of the Third Reich in 1945, and thereby inevitably he has to have worked hand in glove with the Bormann Organization as it was secreting capital out to the 750 corporate fronts in neutral countries. Now, I've noted in the past that the failure of denazification of Germany was never more evident is not evident any place more than in the army. The Inspector General of the German Armed Forces, Klaus Naumann, in the early 90s said that the job of the German Armed Forces was to roll back the values of liberty, equality, and fraternity, the values of the French Revolution. And I've also noted that Manfred Raeder, a convicted Nazi terrorist who killed a couple of Vietnamese with a bomb, was hired to lecture to the German Officers Academy in 1995, and the Bundeswehr, the German army, actively supported his organization. I would also note of Klaus Reinhardt that he also was involved with financing the Bundeswehr. Skipping down in the story, in 1988, Reinhardt's son Klaus would become a general too and would also be engaged in administering the finances of the German military. A curriculum vitae issued this week by NATO describes his role as, quote, coordination of the budgetary means for the armed forces, unquote, of Germany. Now, in For the Record segment 155, we noted that the people who occupy the current positions of leadership in the Bormann Organization are the sons and daughters of top Nazi officials as well as key SS personnel, in light of the fact that Fritz Reinhardt undoubtedly has to have worked very closely with the Bormann Organization in its initial phases. One has to wonder whether Klaus Reinhardt also might have been tabbed for service with the Bormann Organization, bearing in mind that all of the officials to serve with the Underground Reich, as I have termed it, were given official anti-Nazi pedigrees. That again from For the Record program number 184 from November 21st of 99. We should note that with the recent unrest in Macedonia, Germany has been beefing up its participation in the peacekeeping forces in the Balkans. New York Times, March 25th of the year 2001, has the following story by Carlotta Gall, headlined, Macedonia uses helicopters against rebels for the first time. Skipping down, we read, Germany said it was sending paratroopers to Kosovo to add to its peacekeeping contingent, which patrols the Kosovo's southern border with Macedonia around the Tetovo region. It also has 1,000 troops in Macedonia providing backup for the peacekeepers in Kosovo, some of whom are based in Tetovo, right next to a Macedonian army base. So it'll be interesting to see whether the ethnic Albanian unrest in Macedonia or the proposed secession of Montenegro or perhaps renewed Croatian nationalism in Bosnia-Herzegovina winds up serving as a pretext for greater German intervention in the Balkans. I would note that the Bush administration is refusing to participate or to get involved past a point, just as the first Bush administration stood by for the breakup of Yugoslavia. By the time this program goes out to the member stations that carry it, there'll be a detailed description, an annotated description of For the Record Program 293 in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com. You can obtain a copy of that description from Spitfire at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. And sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, is now archiving the For the Record programs at wfmu.org/Dave Emory, D-A-V-E-E-M-O-R-Y, Older For the Record programs are being archived on a related site, archive.wfmu.org/archive/D-X/. That concludes For the Record 293. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.